Here are the words of Scripture as found in John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And the text that this sermon focuses on, he came into his own home or his own things, and his own people received him not. Joy Williams has written a new book, 99 Stories of God. The first parable in it, or the parable in it that I was chosen this morning, is this. It was an upscale wedding. The people at the wedding were wondering about the presence of an old and smiling guest whom no one knew. At last, one of the groom's brothers approached the stranger. "Were you invited?" he asked. "You're creeping out the invited guest." The stranger replied, "I'm not here to eat your blasted wedding supper." Later, the bride said, "We should have let him stay. This is not good. What if he were Jesus or something?" The divorce cost many times what the wedding did, and all the children didn't turn out very well either. Now, that cryptic little parable, I guess, illustrates that quite often we leave the Lord and the Lord's presence out of our activities. I guess the moral of the story is the family may fail because Jesus is the absent guest at the wedding. I remarked to our pastor about a wedding I was at recently, or performed recently, and I wasn't sure whether the Lord was there or not, but I was pretty sure the devil was, truthfully. Revelation 3:26 has, or 3:20 rather, has these words of the risen Lord. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The opportunity is there, but we in the church may also keep the door closed." Now, let me illustrate that by several events. During the hippie days, 40 years or so ago, there was a large suburban church that hired a very brilliant young man as youth worker. He was very effective. He reached out to those young people called hippies, and they decided to come to church one Sunday evening. The deacons were alarmed, and they phoned the police. and they fired the young minister. Later, those same deacons would work to try to prevent that young minister from finding another place of service. But Isaiah and Jesus repeated, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all people." There was a young man from a troubled home who finished Furman and entered the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary when I was there, whom I also had known somewhat at Furman. I do not mean to impinge or to speak against the seminary. I think that was at that time one of the finest communities you could be a part of. He was well equipped as a student. The professor leading the class was also particularly well equipped. He was, I am sure, the best lecturer I had ever heard. He had been first in his class at the fabled Oxford University in England. But the student challenged the professor on a point of philosophy. So technical was that point that few outside of the university faculty of philosophy would even know what the issue was. The professor said, "If you think that way, you should leave the Christian church." That troubled young man said, "I believe I will," and left the seminary that day. He later joined the Episcopal Church and served in Florida and was murdered as he was ministering to the drug culture. Now, I was close to both that student and the professor. That professor had actually asked me to do my PhD work with him. The student was a friend for many years. But I think we need to hear many times what the Apostle Paul said. Welcome one another, but not for disputes about opinions. This day, after learning a great deal more than I knew then about both physics and the size of the universe, and a great deal more about biology than we knew in those days, if you asked me which opinion of the two was right, I would shrug my shoulder and probably say Mach's nicht. Who knows? Doesn't matter. Doesn't count. What does matter is that we welcome one another. During my first years here as pastor, and that was 55 years ago, there was a man died in the state hospital. I did not know him. I did not even know about him. But when he died, I went to see the family and apologized because we had not ministered to the man. His brother, without irony, perhaps justifying his own neglect of that mentally ill man, said, "That's all right. He didn't have any money. We didn't expect you to visit him." Now, I cringe at the very attitude sometimes expressed by that man who was a member of another church, but the attitude that says we only are responsible to help those who can help us. Remember the words of the Son of Man: "I was sick and in prison, and you came unto me." By not caring for the least of these, the troubled, the ill, we miss the presence of the Lord, as he told in that parable in Matthew 25. "I was sick and in prison, and you did not come unto me." We have also borrowed Jesus from our presence in other places. This week, President Obama announced a $95 million grant to help Laos remove the unexploded ordnance from the Vietnam War two generations ago. There are the land that is still lethal to the people who try to farm it or live on it, because even though we were not at war with Laos, we thought the Viet Cong were coming that way, so we dropped tons and tons of weapons. There are war zones in Africa and all across the Middle East that are equally lethal, long after the conflicts have ceased. The humane organizations of the world have encouraged the countries of the world, urging the U.S. and others to sign a treaty banning the manufacture of cluster bombs, and that is bombs that spread all over when you drop them, and the use of landmines, because they remain deadly for many, many years afterwards. But our military councils have resisted us joining that kind of treaty, and we have not yet, because there might come a time and there might be a circumstance when we need cluster bombs and we continue to sell them. And there might come a time when we need landmines to channel the enemy into our fire zone. Hear again the word of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Or think with me for a moment about the boardrooms of the big pharmaceutical companies. In recent years, they have made medicines that could sell for dollars to sell for hundreds and for thousands of dollars. One particular egregious one, there was a medicine that was sold, a life-saving medicine for a very special group, that sold in England for a dollar, that sold in this country for $13 per dose, and they raised the price to thousands of dollars, thus endangering the lives of the poor and actually also endangering the lives or the health of the national economy. Think about Jesus's words about the man who accumulated greater and greater wealth. And Jesus said, God said of him, "You fool, your life is required of you." We as the churches, and I've seen this all my life, we are not guiltless in barring Jesus from our midst. We plan activities and programs with price tags that are prohibitive for many people that we should be reaching. Thus the church, even the church, the have-nots can become the left-outs. And I've been a part of these churches as pastors, activities, actions, retreats that cost hundreds of dollars. The church I grew up in, there were a lot of poor people, the churches I've ministered to. And we need to think about the prices and the activities we plan. Ski trips, hundreds of dollars. But recently I saw where a prayer group was charging $15 for supplies. And the Bible study was $50 a semester in the church. The long-term trend of the churches throughout my lifetime has been for us to spend more and more on ourselves and less on projects that might reach and bless others. We used to own hospitals. We don't anymore. We used to have all kinds of things as a denomination that we don't do anymore. We call our missionaries home because we don't give anymore. That we have decided to spend on ourselves. But the final parable I will repeat is by Leo Tolstoy, the Russian novelist of such ability. He told the story of Martin Opdyke, a cobbler, a shoemaker, and if you ever read Tolstoy, you know that he stretches that story on, and what he could tell in a page, he spends 20 pages to tell you, tweaking every emotion that you have. But the simple story of Martin Opdyke is this. The lonely old cobbler dreams of a visit from the little father, his word for Jesus, on a certain day. And the day comes and he hopefully awaits the visit of Jesus. As the day passes, he provides food and warmth for an old laborer out shoveling snow. The man is at the limits of his strength. He provides him with tea, warmth, food. Later, gazing out the window of his shop, he sees a mother and child. The mother is ill-clad against the cold, and the child also. He calls them in, provides an old coat hanging on a rack for the mother, provides 15 kopecks so that she can redeem the shawl that might help keep her warm, gives them tea, feeds the baby. Later, watching out the same window, he sees a street urchin, a boy, steal an apple from an old woman who's selling them. She grabs him and was going to call the police. And he rushes out and makes peace between the kid, the young man, and the old woman. And he grieves that the day has passed and that the Christ did not visit him. But that night he is comforted by a dream that says, "Inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Tolstoy's world, maybe you get a firmer and clearer answer. God appears in flashes of light and so on and so forth. In Joy Williams' world, the world we live in, I guess, we ponder, was that Jesus really among us? Hear the words from Revelation 3:20 again. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." The absent guest in our lives is the one we have not opened the door to in many ways. Our closing hymn, it is a hymn of decision, is hymn number 516, "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It." If you would make a decision and share it with the church, we invite you to come as we sing hymn number 516.